Good afternoon, everybody, or good evening, good morning, depending on where you're listening from. This is Sports Betting Tips with Chris Sheridan, episode 24. We're previewing tonight's Raptors-Bucks game in Milwaukee. I'm pleased to be joined by a good friend and a guy who's been covering the Raptors for a long time. The Raptors beat is weird that way. There's a bunch of guys who've been covering the team a long time. One of them is Mike Ganter from the Toronto Sun. Mike, thanks for joining us on the show this afternoon, taking time out of a busy day with a lot of breaking news, and the game is a little bit devalued tonight in a certain way with some star power loss, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah, we come into this thing thinking, you know, we're going to see Kawhi Leonard going hard against Giannis Antetokounmpo, and all of a sudden, bam, neither one of them is playing, and they were both surprises this morning. I'll tell you that for sure. I mean, this is, like you said, this game has gone from must-see to is there something else on?
There's always something else on, but yeah. Sports fans don't really care. We, you know,
no.
And sports writers, as you know, sports writers don't go to movies because they have to turn their phones off.
That's
but
true.
Fill us in first on Kawhi Leonard, who plays for your team, the Toronto Raptors, and you know they're one of two only two undefeated teams left in the NBA.
Yeah, he has been the progress he's made is incredible, really. I mean, from where we saw him through the preseason, I mean, he'd get into the games, but he wasn't really taking anything over. They weren't Kawhi-esque games. And then once the lights came on for real and the regular season started, it's just been a steady climb. I mean, you know, notwithstanding, this will be the second game they sat him out. The other was a back-to-back as well. And I mean, you can only assume that we're going to get more of this because they're not, I mean, the goal is not the big regular season. The goal is what happens in April and May. And so it's not going to surprise me from here on out that, you know, if we get the call on either a back-to-back or a long road trip with a bunch of flights that all of a sudden Kawhi is MIA for a night. But he has been everything and more, actually, than they could have hoped. I mean, he is, these last two games in particular, he has just been exactly the Kawhi that we saw in San Antonio before all of the mystery and the injuries.
And the fan base up in Toronto is an extraordinarily passionate fan base. But when a player decides play there anymore, they turn on him rather quickly. You know, you can look up Tracy McGrady. You can look up Vince Carter. There have been quite a few.
Chris Bosh.
And absolutely. And why is it that the Toronto fan base kind of does that? Are they just that provincial, or do they not understand that? Well,
no.
I mean, explain it a little bit for the listeners.
Yeah. No. I think that's part of it, Chris. I mean, it's less now than it was in the past, quite a bit less. And part of that is because, you know, they've become successful and they've seen, you know, first rate players actually come to this team. But I mean, when somebody leaves in Toronto, or in the past anyway, when someone has left in Toronto, they've taken it like a slap in the face and you know, you're right. It's sort of a naive take in professional sports these days because people leave all the time. Like LeBron James is, you know, he left Cleveland, he went to Miami, he left Miami, he went back to Cleveland, then he left Cleveland again, and now he's in L.A. I mean, that's the best player of our generation. So, I mean, to expect, you know, players to stay and be loyal to one team really should not be, you know, sort of your way of thinking. But for whatever reason in Toronto, yes, we have had issues letting players go and then letting our emotions come out. I don't think it's quite that way anymore. I think this fan base has matured and grown up, and it's quite a bit more sophisticated now. But yeah, for sure, in the past, Chris, that has definitely been an issue.
Yeah. And as you look back on the 6-0 start, aside from Kawhi Leonard, who are the guys that are standing out for you? You know, Nick Nurse is coaching the team now, not coaching the same way that Dwayne Casey did, where Dwayne would go 11 players deep. The rotation has been shortened, and, you know, now there's star power with Kawhi. So, but, it's, you know, aside from Kawhi, what else are you seeing from the Raptors this season that makes them look a lot different than how they played last season?
Well, I mean, Kyle Lowry, and this has been pointed out numerous times already, wasn't real thrilled about losing his best friend in DeMar DeRozan when the trade happened. But on the court, you would not know that because he is playing as good as he ever has. I mean, especially in his assist game, he is making like two or three head-turning assists a night, and not the kind that, you know, you're just like, oh, there's another dime. These are like get out of your seat and like, whoa, and the fan base is, you know, you can hear them just gasp. And it's that part of his game is gone way up. I mean, I think he's averaging 10.3 assists a night. He's either, I think, second in the league to Rondo, but Rondo's only played the two games. But that's been the other big takeaway for me so far, is just how good Kyle is, how he's getting everyone involved. I mean, his scoring's down a little bit. I think he's around 19 and a half, but he's just making everyone around him so much better. And him and Kawhi are, they're not. I wouldn't say the chemistry is all the way there yet, but they're getting there.
And now fill us in also on Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's out tonight as well. He's in the NBA concussion protocol. Again, it sort of devalues the game, but the fact of the matter is, you still got 2-6-0 teams, and injuries are a part of the NBA. Everybody has to go through them, and that's why you have guys on your bench and they got to stay ready. But what's up with Giannis and the concussion protocol, and how long you see that lasted?
I have no idea how long that's going to last. I mean, concussions are so, you know, person to person, who knows? All I do know is that he took a hit in Orlando, in the game against Orlando, and initially he passed all of the those tests they do, and then but then I guess it was yesterday he woke up this morning he woke up with a headache and a few more of the symptoms. So they're probably rightly so at this stage in the season, they're going to err on the side of caution and just, you know, sit him out. And well, I'm not even sure they have the it's a decision they can make, to be honest. I mean, once you're in that concussion protocol, there's all kinds of checks and ticks you've got to hit in order to get back out of it. So I mean, in dealing with concussions on this team in the past, we had a few two seasons ago, and I just remember thinking, this is taking a lot longer than I would normally think, because, you know, the guy would get hit on the Monday and you'd still be going into Friday or a game on Friday, and they'd be saying, no, he hasn't passed all of the tests yet, so we're going to hold him out. So it could linger, but again, I don't think that's a big issue for this team. This team is, I mean, he is the focal point. There's no question, but this is a good team. Coach, new head coach Mike Budenholzer has got these guys playing both ends of the floor, defensively and offensively, at a high, high rate. Chris Middleton is shooting the crap out of the ball. They're a formidable team even without the Greek Freak.
Yeah, and look, they are what they are. They're 6-0. Chris Middleton is playing great ball. Eric Bledsoe is playing outstanding. I think you've really seen an addition by subtraction move with Jabari Parker. Not taking up 15
yep.
shots a night. Those are getting more evenly distributed. And Brooke Lopez, I mean, damn, you know, we had Mike Budenholzer on. I did a column with him, and we were talking some Bucks basketball with Jim McElvain and the former, you know, former Marquette center, and played on a bunch of teams in the NBA. But Bud had been saying, look, we're gonna move Brooke out to the 3-point line, and we're gonna use him as a shooter and a floor spacer. And we're gonna try to incentivize him to rebound. You know, good luck with that. No coach has been able to get Brooke to rebound. That's why he's playing on a small contract instead of a max contract. But it's working for the Bucks. And Mike Budenholzer was clearly the best coaching candidate on the market last summer, at least in my humble opinion. So, give us a little bit of a prediction for the game tonight, with both teams playing without their best player.
I don't want to come across sounding like too much of a homer, but I think Toronto up and down the lineup is deeper, and taking Kawhi out of that hurts them less than it hurts Milwaukee taking Giannis out. So I'd say, Toronto came in. They were a slight favorite coming into the night. And I think with Giannis out and Kawhi out, I think they're probably even a bigger favorite. I don't know. You can probably tell me. I mean, has the line moved since all this news hit?
Typically, the line comes down and then gets readjusted over the course of the day as different players are listed as out, and then different players are listed as in. And when the starting lineups come out, often that's when the game goes back on the board. What is on the board right now, Mike, is the Toronto Raptors are pretty much a heavy second betting choice for to win the Eastern Conference. They're at +150, which is also known as 3-2, and the Boston Celtics are at -135, which would mean you would have to bet $135 to win 100. But the Philadelphia 76ers are now down to +550 or 5.5-1. And the Bucks are at 10-1. The Pacers are at 26-1. The Pistons, you know, even with Blake Griffin off to this crazy good start, they're still up at 45-1. And then you have the also rans. Miami's at 85-1 without such a bad team. And look, Jimmy Butler could be a game changer for any single team in the Eastern Conference. Well, why do you think the Raptors are such a held in such higher esteem by the bookmakers than the Bucks are?
I think that's I think that's depth. I mean, you look at the way Nick is running the team this year. Last year, as you pointed out, Dwayne Casey would go. He had his starting five, and then he had that second five man unit that affectionately became known as the bench mob. And he would go. He would almost. It was like a hockey change. You know, one line would come off and the other line would go on. But this year, Nick's blown that up. He doesn't – he wants all 12, 14, however many – like, well, 12 on a nightly basis playing together and playing with each other and playing as well. He wants Kawhi to know how to play off of a guy like Kyle Lowry, as well as he knows how to play off of Fred VanVleet or DeLon Wright. And I think, that's added to the depth. And I think that's what the bookmakers are seeing is that, you know, these guys have a lot of interchangeable parts, and they're, you know, even an injury, like I said, you take Kawhi out of the lineup tonight, they're going to be a good team, and they're still going to be a very good team. But, like I said, it's a matter of making sure that everybody's comfortable playing with the other guy, and that so when these the inevitable injuries hit, there is no drop off. I can understand why they're the second choice in the East, for sure. It's that's not a surprise.
And right now the board is showing the Raptors as a 2-point favorite for tonight. Line movements though, and drastic line movements, are not uncommon in situations like this. And you know, NBA teams have been told hold your information really close to the vest this season because of the new laws, or the new lack of laws, I should say, in the United States. The Supreme Court overturned the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act on May 14th, and it's a wide open field now in the U.S. Gambling has been legalized in 5 states. Pennsylvania is about to come online as number 6. The licenses have been issued to racetracks. I'll be down in Philadelphia tonight, and I'll get a look at some of the gambling infrastructure that they have down there in terms of being what they have online and what they don't have online. And you got to drive through Jersey, of course, where you can do anything on a mobile device. You can play poker. You just can't bet on a New Jersey college team. So what's evolving in the United States is a different set of rules in every single state. And until the U.S. Congress passes a federal standard, this is the new landscape that everybody is really navigating. In Canada, though, Mike, fill us in on what sports gambling, what the infrastructure is like up there, and how common it is. You know, overseas in Britain, you walk into a Ladbrokes in just about any town, it's right next to the pub, and people gamble on their phones all the time, and guys get together, girls get together and watch ball games or watch whatever, and it's very common to just, you know, place a small bet on your phone while you're watching a game. In America, you can do it pitch by pitch in for baseball, or you could until the World Series ended. And that betting infrastructure existed in New Jersey. But what's it like up in Canada?
No, you can still, you can do pretty much everything you can do down in the States. I mean, myself, I'm not a huge gambler because, well, it's kind of a, it's probably not a good idea for me to be gambling, considering the job I do. But I do have friends who partake in this quite regularly, and like you said, it's get on your iPhone, get on whatever phone you happen to have, and you can bet mid game, you can bet anything basically. I mean, so they in Canada the sort of the popular go to the store type of betting or go to the bookie type of betting, it's all done. It's that government lottery, the pro line.
Because they had done sports gambling lottery years ago, and the NBA got upset about that.
Yeah, exactly. They pulled them off. The David Stern came in and insisted that if Toronto or when Toronto and when Toronto came on board in the NBA when they got their expansion, he insisted that Proline pull the NBA games off, and for the longest time they were. Now they're back on now, so that's the one where you can just go in the store and you can bet, you know, whatever, pick five games, put them together, parlay them, and make a bet. And if you hit on all five, you win. But to answer your question a little more succinctly, Chris, everything that you guys end up doing down in the States, we in terms of betting, we pretty much do in Canada as well.
Yeah, it's common now, and you know, I like to say what's normal is not necessarily common. It's not normal for a lot of people to bet, but it's common for a lot of people to bet. People play March Madness pools all the time at the office.
All the time. Yep.
And, you know, if it's raining and you don't bring an umbrella, then you're gambling that you're not going to get soaked and ruin your suit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is a gamble. But going back to what's on the board right now, of course, the Golden State Warriors are still heavy favorites to win the championship. They came in and lit up the Nets last night before Brooklyn made a bit of a futile comeback. It was a nice comeback, but Joe Harris missed a shot that could have tied it, and then it got away from him. Right now, we're looking at the Lakers at 18-1. In the East, this is to win the NBA championship. The Boston Celtics are on at 6-1. The Raptors are second at 9-1. And just looking around the list, the odds on everybody else, other than Philadelphia at 14-1, are extraordinarily long. If you had to say there's an outlier team somewhere that people are undervaluing in the Eastern Conference, what team would you pick?
I'd probably go with Indiana right now. I think the Pacers, I mean, Oladipo, that trade with Oladipo and Sabonis coming over, that changed that team. It was supposed to change it for the worse, and it may have changed it for the better. I mean, well, it has, in my opinion. They are, and that team is just, they're together. Miles Turner is getting better. I like that team a lot, and Nate McMillan runs a tight ship, and I think people are maybe sleeping a little bit on the Pacers, if anybody in the East.
And what about hockey? You know, it's not in my wheelhouse, other than I paid kind of close attention to the Islanders last season, and I followed John Tavares real closely. And Tavares, of course, over the summer, he signed with the Maple Leafs. And
yep.
How long has it been since 1950? What when the Stanley Cup was last won by Toronto?
1967 was their last cup.
Yeah, and I'd like to say if Tavares wins the Stanley Cup, then they're going to take Queen Elizabeth off the money, and they're going to put his photo on there.
There'll be a few statues going up. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, and so what about the Leafs and their chances to win the cup now that they have Tavares on the team, along with the nucleus that they already had around them? You know, a lot of his buddies from Tavares is from Mississauga, right outside in Ontario. And they're on the board right now at 7-1 to win the Stanley Cup. Now, the Tampa Bay Lightning are favored, but go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say that the Leafs are they're a decent bet, obviously, just because, A, you add Tavares to a nucleus that already includes an Austin Matthews, a Mitch Marner, and if he ever decides to sign, and holding out William Nylander right now. So, I mean, that's an issue. I mean, that's one that, you know, people should be watching very closely. If Nylander ends up coming back, he is another sniper. Like, he is just a goal scorer extraordinaire. And if he ends up coming back, I think that certainly enhances their chances. Right now you've got Matthews, he's out for a month. He's got another shoulder issue. So they're going to be without arguably their A or 1A best player in Austin Matthews for the next month. So that's going to be a bit of a slog for them. But they're a good team top to bottom as well. They've got depth as well. They've got Mike Babcock behind the bench. I could see them being a very decent bet for at least to reach Stanley Cup final and then potentially winning it.
Yeah, everybody remembers, or not everybody remembers, but people should know that the Vegas Golden Knights were on the board at 100-1 to win the Stanley Cup last year, and they went to the finals against the Washington Capitals and lost. But for an expansion team to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, that's unprecedented in hockey, but it's unprecedented in any sport, any professional sport.
Yeah,
that's just
that's just unheard of, and that speaks directly to how well they did in their expansion draft, and full credit to their management team for making that work.
Yeah, and right now on the board, the favorites to win the Stanley Cup are the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators at 6.5-1, and then the Maple Leafs are at 7-1. The Penguins and the Winnipeg Jets are at 7.5-1. The San Jose Sharks are at 8-1. So there's no clear-cut favorite in the NHL, which is interesting.
No, and that's to be that's to be expected too. There's more parity in that league. Like, it's not like basketball, where you know you've got two or three of the best players on one side, and they're immediately going to swing the balance. You can have two or three great players on a hockey team and still not be a contender if the rest of your team has absolutely no depth.
Yeah. It gives me an opportunity to put in a plug for the people that are paying the bills. This show lives on getmoresports.com, but the guys who are paying the bills are betdsi.com. That's in the United States, betdsi.com. If you're listening in Canada, or if you're listening overseas, you got to go to betdsi.eu. If you go there and you sign up and you use a bonus code with all capital letters BBALL1000, they'll give you a matching bonus up to $1,000. So no matter what currency you're using, whatever the equivalent is in American dollars, use that bonus code. Again, it's all capital letters BBALL1000, and they'll match you up to $1,000. So, but Mike, let's turn it back to your team, the Toronto Raptors, and give our listeners a reading on Nick Nurse. Not a lot of people outside of Ames, Iowa, where he was the head coach at Iowa State, knew a lot about him. He's a shooting coach. I've read about him over the years. He's best known as a shooting coach, but he's also a head coach.
Well,
he's an NBA head coach.
More an offensive-minded coach than a shooting coach. I mean, he's not like a. I wouldn't put him in the bracket of a Dave Hoffler for sure. Like, that is strictly a shooting coach. But I'd say an offensive guru more than the defensive side for sure.
And what about as a personality? What kind of a personality does he have, and how is he coming across to the fan base up in Toronto and you know, to the guys on the beat?
Yeah, he's a straight shooter. Self-deprecating quite a bit. Has no problem making fun of himself. I wouldn't say he's a hardline coach, but he has his principles and his rules, and he expects them to be followed. He's still sort of just the guy on the bench right now for a lot of Torontonians. I mean, you know, you know how it works, Chris. You get a new head coach, and everybody trots out heads back to Iowa and finds his high school coach and finds his best friend, and you do those stories. So the people who have actually done some reading know a little bit about him. But if you're just showing up at a basketball game, what you're seeing from Nick Nurse is a guy who is not afraid to try different things, a guy who values ball movement, values pace, and obviously being of a more analytics bent, he is extremely high on the 3-point shot, as all coaches should be at this stage of the game. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say one of the guys that that came aboard, the other piece of the Kawhi Leonard trade was Danny Green, and Danny, along with Kyle Lowry, has started all six games, and he's knocked down 18 threes. He's a 3-and-D guy. He always was in San Antonio, but he often runs very hot or cold, like a broken faucet. That was always a scouting report on him. And is that still an accurate scouting report on Danny Green? You don't know what you're going to get from that tonight?
Yeah, all we've seen from Danny so far is the hot. I mean, he has been locked in since the season started. He's shooting the ball extremely well. He's extremely underrated defensively. Like, I know he has the record, the 3-and-D reputation, but because of the 3-point shot, that side of his game seems to get overlooked. But he is, like, this is a guard making chase down blocks at the rim. And I've seen him multiple occasions already, and we're six games into the season. He's been a revelation. I watch the San Antonio Spurs as much as anybody, and had, you know, as much respect for them as anybody else, but he tended to get lost in that group. Whereas in Toronto, he is, you know, it's Kawhi, it's Kyle, and right now it's Danny. That's your, those are the first three you go to. I mean, he's been really impressive. And like I said, I think underrated defensively.
Yeah, he's shooting 45% as a high volume 3-point shooter. He's attempted 40, he's made 18. He's shooting 44% from the field, and he's scoring 11 points a game. Raptors have six guys averaging in double figures. And then right below that is a guy who started five out of the six games, Pascal Siakam. Siakam, thank you for correcting my pronunciation, because I haven't been able to watch enough Raptors games this season. But give us what's this kid all about? He starts five games. He's sort of like a Swiss Army knife guy from you know, what I've heard from guys around the league.
He is an instant energy. He may be the fastest forward in the game today. He goes end to end quicker than most. You won't believe it when you it'd be interesting to just put a camera on him and watch him go, because I know Kyle Lowry is taking advantage of that speed time and time again already this year. Those long, you know, court length passes. And he's just finishing at the rim with, you know, defenders in his wake. There's nobody around. It's just, that's the biggest part of his game, his speed and his energy. He's athletic. He can jump out of the gym. His handle has improved. It's still not great in tight. Like, they're very comfortable with him. Like, he'll bring up the ball quite a bit, and you know, and then Lowry can kind of catch a bit of a break, and, you know, spot up over in the corner for a three or whatever. But in tight, he tends to get a little loosey-goosey, and he can turn the ball over a little bit there. But he is, of all the Raptors, he is the one this year that I think most people think is going to make the biggest jump. I've seen a lot of people, he was supposed to start the year on the Bettwood, on the second unit. But, I mean, again, Nick's not afraid to try things, and he saw enough in the preseason that he sat him in there with the starters five of the six games, and I expect it will be the vast majority of the season that way.
And what about the center spot, Mike? Because Jonas Valanciunas has started half the games, and Serge Ibaka has started three out of six games. Zach Lowe wrote about this extensively on ESPN.com. Zach does a fantastic job about the Raptors playing small with Ibaka at center. What's been maybe the common denominator for games where they've gone small with Ibaka at center or gone big with Valanciunas at center?
Yeah, basically, if you see a traditional center, a traditional post-up guy, and there's not many of them left, matching up against the Raptors, then that's when Jonas will start. And if the opponent's got a center who steps out to the three-point line or is a little more quick, then you're going to see Serge in there. They've been really happy with the split. It's been I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me offhand, but I think between the two of them, it's something like 27 points and 12 rebounds a night, or 27 and 15. I forget exactly, but they've been extremely, extremely good. And again, that speaks to Nick's penchant for, you know, just thinking outside the box a little bit. Like, you don't need to have one starting center. He's basically got two starting centers, and you know, based on the matchup, he's going to switch it up.
And who's the X factor on this team? If there's one guy who's going to be the key to the Raptors either making it to the NBA Finals or not getting out of the conference finals, assuming they make it that far, put your finger at one guy.
It's still going to be Kawhi, and I know that's a bit of a cop out, but here's why. He is, when this team needs a bucket and he is playing aggressively, he can get it for them at any point. And that's something this team has never had. I mean, DeMar DeRozan could do it a little bit, but still he was not to the same degree that Kawhi has done it. So I think if Kawhi is humming when the playoffs come around and he's locked in and healthy, most of all, I think that's the biggest X factor. If he's there, I think this team can quite easily, not easily, but I think this team has a very good path to the NBA final.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, if he sticks around, what about that? Kawhi Leonard sticking around through the trading deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be through the trade deadline, but I think this is again a gamble on Masai's part. You're either going to have him. I think he's quite content to have him for the year. And if he walks, he walks. But I don't think you're going to see him. I don't think you're going to see him dealt at the trade deadline, unless, of course, this team suddenly goes in the tank, or you know, you get two-fifths of your starting rotation all of a sudden goes on a long-term injured list. Then maybe you might think, all right, well, let's turn this asset into something else. But I think this is an all-in play. I think he's going for it this year, and. Wait, if Kawhi leaves, Kawhi leaves, but and then we start the rebuild. But that's just one man's opinion. I've heard many of them so far.
Yeah, and we're only in October, and the trading deadline is not until February. We're a long way away.
Yeah, exactly.
Minds can change. Everybody had Paul George going to L.A. until the night of June 30th, when he decided he was going to stay in Oklahoma City. That gamble really paid off for Sam Presti and for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their poor start to the season notwithstanding. I think with Kawhi, look, a lot of things will happen. A lot of things will change over the next 3 months. Everybody's on tiptoes about and walking on eggshells with the Jimmy Butler situation, which the story that never stops giving. But once Butler gets moved, then there's going to be a domino effect, and other guys are going to get moved. But the thing about Kawhi is he is on an expiring contract, and the Raptors can't afford to let him go and lose him for nothing. And I think that's why this is going to be a real interesting trading deadline, probably one of the most frantic trading deadlines the NBA has ever seen, because there aren't a lot of teams out there that can legitimately compete for the championship, and you got more than 50% of the player population in the league becoming free agents over the summer. Then you got guys like Anthony Davis who, if the Pelicans – their fast start notwithstanding, if they can't sustain a championship caliber team, he wants to go to a bigger market. He wants to go to Boston or LA or New York or Philly. And so the pace of change and the amount of players that are going to be on the market and switching teams, not only in February, but over the summer, is going to be astounding. And if there's one thing that you think the Raptors can offer Kawhi Leonard that no other team can, What would it be?
What they get from him?
No. As a selling point to get him to stay there long term, what's going to be the strongest selling point that Toronto has?
I'm not sure. To me, and this again, I've been around this guy a little bit since training camp back in September. To me, this is, and Kawhi does not let people in. I don't want to suggest that I'm some sort of insider here with the like the Kawhi whisperer or anything, but I just get the sense that this is a man who's made up his mind. He's here for the time being. He's playing at a level far beyond what any of us thought he would be at this stage already, and he's giving it his all. And I think when, you know, the end of the season comes, again, I mean, maybe an NBA championship, maybe an NBA title changes this, but I think he came into this thinking, I want to get back closer to home. I want to go play in LA. I want to be closer to San Diego. I don't think that changes for Kawhi Leonard. And I mean, we do this, and I'm sure you've done this yourself. After, you know, you'll be sitting around with a bunch of writers after a game, and you're having a social, and the question will get asked: what percentage would you put on Kawhi Leonard returning? And the ranges I've heard in these discussions are like from anywhere from 75% to zero, and I'm much closer to the zero. I'm like, I don't think he's coming back. I think this is a determined, a guy who knows what he wants, and I'm not sure that anything Toronto does, to be honest, can sway him. Again, just my opinion, but that's my read on the individual. He's a stubborn man. He's a man who's made up his mind, and I think we see him in one of those two LA teams this time next year.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think the fallout from the Butler trade will dictate a lot of which way the dominoes fall after. Everyone is certainly looking forward to January 3rd when Kawhi goes back to San Antonio for his alumni game at the TNT game. And there'll be a lot of people across Canada and across Texas and all around the world watching that one. But in the shorter term, Mike, I'll be down in Philly tonight to get a good look at Trae Young with the Atlanta Hawks, one of the favorites for Rookie of the Year. Reconnect with some people around the Sixers who I was covering last season. But your team, you go on the road. You got the Sixers tomorrow night, Tuesday night.
Tomorrow night, back-to-back. And then, then Thursday we're out to Phoenix, Los Angeles for the Lakers. And then Utah and Sacramento. So
I wanted to pin you down on the Lakers from what you've been seeing with LeBron James. And look, the cast of characters in that lineup has changed on a nightly basis because of the fight, the Chris Paul Rajon Rondo fight, and it's forced them to juggle lineups. But what do you make of what you've seen so far out of LeBron in LA?
I think it's a definite work in progress. I don't think as with any team with any LeBron team since the early days, it's you almost expect a slow start and a slow build because they all have to get used to playing the game the way he wants to play the game. And you know, people might quibble with that, but why wouldn't you build around the best player's tendencies? I mean, he is by far and away the best player of this generation, and he's I see them off to a slow start. I don't think this supporting cast that we're seeing now is going to be the supporting cast that we're going to see even by season's end. I think there's going to be a ton of changes there. I like some of the young guys on that team. I like Kuzma. Not a big ball fan. Lonzo is he seems more hype than substance to me. I mean, I know he's got great court vision, don't get me wrong, but I think that's the extent of his wow in his game. I mean, his court vision. I mean, everybody wants the rest of it. I just don't see, and I'm not sure he's going to be. I don't know. Maybe he will be around. I mean, they certainly invested a high pick in him, but I don't. I just see a lot of changing parts on that team before we see the Lakers team that rolls into the playoffs.
Yeah, they're definitely going to be a work in progress, and they've maintained their cap flexibility for next summer. They've done it for a reason. You know, Rondo's in there on a 1 year deal. JaVale McGee, who's playing fantastic, is in there on a 1 year deal. But what the
Lance
Lakers
Stevenson,
look like,
don't leave him out.
Oh yeah, because he comes in and he's been a game changer a couple times. The guy's not a bad player, and he's gotten under LeBron's skin in the past. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in some of their practices, especially with Rondo and Lance, and the personalities that those guys have and the history they've had with certain teammates.
Oh, there might be as good. There might be as good of fights. There might be better fights within those practices than the one we saw in Houston, or with Houston, sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Those tend to get bootleg videoed and passed around among NBA front office people. I've heard some tales about the fights in practice and videotapes thereof. So,
yeah.
Anyway. He's Mike Ganter from the Toronto Sun. You can follow him on Twitter. He's at @Mike_Ganter, Ganter. Provides fantastic coverage on the Toronto Raptors and has been doing so for a number of years. How many years have you been on the beat now, Mike?
This will be year number 9 for me with the Raptors, and I had 10 years before that with the Jays. So I'm multitasking.
Yeah, well, you're an institution in Toronto, much like our friend and colleague Doug Smith, who's doing better after some health problems, which is great to hear. And you're going to have a good game in front of you tonight in Milwaukee in the new building. I've heard fantastic things, and I'm anxious to get out there myself. But we're gonna wrap it up. Again, I wanted to plug the show's sponsor. Again, this show lives on GetMoreSports.com, but our sponsor is BetDSI.com. This is one of the largest sports books in the world. And, again, in America, gambling is not illegal anymore. It's not necessarily legal. It's not necessarily illegal. It's operating in a gray area, and there's opportunities out there for people to make money. You can make small bets. You can make big bets. You can do whatever you want. But if you go to BetDSI.com and you enter bonus code BBALL1000, that's BBALL1000, all capital letters, they will match up to $1,000. If you're overseas or if you're in Canada, it's BetDSI.eu. So that's going to be a wrap for today's show, and we'll be back at you again with another show soon. The NBA season is unfolding in front of us in a really interesting and extraordinary way, and we're down to 2 unbeatens. Mike, you get to see them both play tonight. Too bad the big stars aren't going to play, but again, you know, they'll play 3 more times this season, and by the time we get to April and see where the playoff race shakes out, we'll have a much broader perspective on how each of these teams has developed over the course of the season. So I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and I want to encourage people to, especially in Canada, you know, follow Mike on Twitter, and pick up the Toronto Sun, read it online or buy it at the newsstand. There's still a lot of people that read newspapers off of newsstands in Canada, especially in Toronto, one of the best international cities anywhere on the globe. So that's a wrap.
I appreciate all that, Chris. Thanks very much, and thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
You're having it on, and say hello to all our mutual friends out there in Milwaukee tonight.
I will, for
that's
sure.
That's about it, folks. Oh, I appreciate that, buddy. That's a wrap for today's show, and we'll be back at you soon with another podcast. It'll come at you from wherever the news is coming at you from. And with that, we're over and out.